Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
So good to be with you this morning and to jump into the Word with you. Amen. Do we have the slide that will challenge our thoughts and minds? It'll come eventually. We're all good. Amen. Father, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you for your house. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the ministry of life that is here, for the quickening and the anointing that is here. Lord, for the preparation that we can speak your name and to speak your word and to receive from you today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So there is a, there we go. Excellent. Overcomer, question mark, or overcomer, exclamation mark. Overcomer, question mark, or overcomer, exclamation mark. Question mark means, I'm not sure. Question mark means, well, maybe. Exclamation mark means, yes, I am. Exclamation mark says, it's a pow, it's a boom. It's overused in writing. It's only supposed to be used when there's absolutely nothing else that could be put in its place to cause your emotions to say there's something powerful going on here. I remember a movie, Saving Private Ryan. It's somewhat based on a true story, but the gist of it was that three brothers had died and one was left, and the army had put in a new clause that it was, that if there was a sole survivor of a family, that they had to be rescued. So in this movie, there's a certain character. He's not a key character, but to me, he was a very key character. And this character, every time there was a battle, he'd never fire his gun. He had the same training. He had the same preparation. He had the same weapons. He had everything that every other soldier had. But when he was confronted with the challenge to actually engage, he'd back down. And then toward the end of the movie, there's a scene. Very descriptive, probably one of the most descriptive war movies. And he won't engage. And as he's watching his friends dying, he won't engage. And I'm you have to understand, I'm an army brat. Okay, born on an army base, father was a soldier. Boxing gloves on at 3 and a half, fought for the first 13 years of my life. I'm sitting there, and every time I watch it, it's like I can't get the, what are you doing? Engage. Engage. You've got a gun in your hand. This enemy is killing your friend, and you're not doing anything. You must engage. And as I'm watching that, I'm saying, Lord, have mercy on us. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Because he had a question mark. And he was living with the question mark. He was allowing himself, even though he had every preparation available, to be able to engage and win. Instead, he was saying, I'm not going to move from that. I'm not going to twist that question mark into an exclamation mark and become what I was meant to be. And what does happen eventually, the price of the blood of his friends finally awoke him. And when it awoke him, he changed. And he changed so significantly that everything about him changed. His face changed. His mannerisms changed. His actions changed. And he did what every soldier should do, is to defeat the enemy. And I heard a loud voice. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Woo! Come on. Now it's happened. This is not about to happen. This is not going to happen when we get to heaven. We're living in it right now. Somebody say amen, please. Right now, his authority is complete. Right now, he possesses all authority. Right now, the kingdom is available. Right now, it is ours. It's the power and the kingdom and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, cast out, who accused them day and night before our God, and where we're going, they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Amen and amen. So, I love the book of Revelation. I'm loving it more and more because I believe God's giving me grace. I'm studying it a little bit more, getting a better picture of it. Please, when you read it, take away the idea that it's prophesying the end times. Just scratch that. Just scratch it. Just mark it out. That's not why it was written. I'm going to say it again. That's not why it was written. It wasn't written 2,000 years ago to the New Testament church for them to read it and think, I have no idea what you're talking about. This does not relate to me. This means nothing to me. Therefore, I'm just going to set it aside. It's for an appointed time. It's not for now. No, that's not how God speaks. It was written to them, not to us. Ooh. It was written to them for us. So when we understand what was being spoken to them, we can now say, that's what's for me as well. So the book of Revelation is a panorama, prophetic panorama. It's more than that. It's that's why everybody that, like, anyway, it is it is giving you this broad picture of history. It's giving you a broad picture of the history of the people of God, of the saints. A broad picture of the Hebrew saints is a broad picture of the Jewish saints and a broad picture of the Gentile saints. It's giving you a broad picture. It's showing you all of time in 22 chapters. Woo, that's pretty powerful. And in the midst of it, this verse sits and it's pointing back as if though we're standing before God and it's saying to us prophetically, do you know how people overcame? Do you know how they overcame? This is how they overcame. It's an end of story book. This is how people of God take the question mark and turn it into an exclamation mark. This is how they do it. Number one, by the blood. Oh, we should get a shout, sorry. I'm going to say it again. By the blood. Let's go back to the blood. What are we overcoming? Let's start there. The Bible is filled with threes. And, you know, it talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. It talks about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We translate that into girls' gold and glory, but it could also be guys' gold and glory, to be more accurate. And the reality is that we're born into a war and we're in a fight and we're in a fight to win. I'm not in a fight to lose. I'm in a fight to see the glory of God come down. Somebody say amen. I'm in a fight to see revival. That spiritual reality where the righteous take the kingdom by force, where they just don't sit back and watch things happen, but they create things and they make things happen. And so here's this spirit of a warrior that sits on every single one of you, because whether you like it, when you were born into a war. You took the red pill, you Matrix fans. You took the red pill. Interesting that it's red. I wonder why. You took the red pill, and all of a sudden you woke up and you realized, oh my gosh, there's a battle for my soul. Oh my gosh, there's a battle for his soul, for her soul, for their soul. Oh my gosh, I'm in a war. I'm in a fight. Will I engage or will I not engage? Will I get involved or will I stand back and watch? Will I encourage others on or will I say, I'm in this too? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to live in the midst of this reality? And so he says, for these New Testament believers, now we're going to go back again to 2,000 years ago. And what did they hear when they read, they overcame him by the blood? Because you and I, let's be honest, we were averse to blood. Right? My brother, is 2 years older than me. He's got a metabolism like you wouldn't believe. He's like 150 pounds. I won't tell you what I am. And I'm like, thanks, God. I really appreciate it. He finally started to turn gray. I've been gray for 15, 20 years. It's like, I don't know what gives with this, but here it is. It's just the simple realities. We're averse to it. Why did I mention him? Because when he went to get his teeth pulled and he saw blood, he fainted. And some of us are like that. You know, we have this absolute total aversion to blood. People say about Christianity, it's a bloody religion. It is a bloody religion. Let me put that out there. It is a bloody religion. I'm sorry if I offend you, but it's a bloody religion. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Come on. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So what were they hearing? The Jewish Christians understood that, listen, for 1,000 years from the time of Moses, they had been killing blood, the goats, and they've been killing sheep, and they've been killing cattle, and they had a priesthood that was set for one purpose, to make atonement for their sin. The sin of man caused there to be death, and there had to be an atonement for it. And so they understood that the power of everything that was God could only come about into earth because of blood. That blood, the blood of bulls and goats, was a covering, but it couldn't change you. Are you with me? It couldn't change you. It could cause grace to flow down to you, but it could not change you. You would stay the same. But now there was a new blood on the scene. Somebody say amen. There was a new blood on the scene. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, when it was shed, it stopped all sacrifice. It finished all sacrifice. There would be no more sacrifice for sin because his blood was perfect blood. Somebody say amen. His blood was sinless blood. You see, your blood and my blood will only get us death. My blood can't atone for my sin. My blood is the price for my sin. My blood must be offered for my sin. My sin, and there must be death. But his blood was perfect blood. His blood was righteous blood. His blood took my blood, canceled out my blood, and I got his blood. Hallelujah. Right? So the blood of Jesus spoke to them and said to them, this is your identity. You have a new identity. The old identity, the old bloodline, the Adamic bloodline has been canceled out, and now you have, listen now, now you have a God bloodline. Not that you will ever become God, but you will become like God, because of your new DNA that has been given to you. And so now you're living with this understanding that there's nothing equal, nothing greater, nothing more powerful than this powerful blood. The blood authenticates my cleansing. I am clean. I'm forgiven. I'm blood washed. I am blood bought. The blood ratifies and it confirms my identity. I am a child of God. I am adopted in the family. God is my father. Jesus, my elder brother. When he looks at me, he sees Jesus' life and righteousness. So it would be like, it would be like this. My name is Jesus Stephen Wesley. From heaven's perspective. You should put Jesus at the beginning of your name. I know you freak yourself out and freak everybody else out, but do you understand that when you call yourself a Christian, that's what you're saying? When you call yourself a Christian, you're saying, I identify with Christ. Christ, I want to be like Christ. Christ, Christian means little Christ. It was a derogatory term. It was a mocking term. It was because people were so sold out for Jesus that people had to recognize, you know what? They want to be like their Messiah. These are Christians. So when you name yourself Christ, your identity, this is where your power comes from. Your power comes from your identification with who you are in Jesus and who Jesus is in you. So that every force of darkness that's arrayed against your life is broken off and has no power, listen, has no authority, and it's the power that you have from Romans 6 that tells you that you're dead to sin but alive to God. Therefore, give all yourself, everything about you, because of the blood. The Lamb of God. We sang about it this morning. The Lamb of God. How many want to just take a minute? I'm sorry. We're going to do something non-religious. In the middle of a sermon, we're going to get you to stand. And we're going to thank God for the blood. Yes. Come on. I know. It's but I'm comfortable right now. I get it. I know. Come on. Let's thank him for the blood. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again?
Nothing but
the blood of Jesus. Amen. 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 It is the blood. The blood speaks of better things. You can be seated. The blood speaks of better things. It says that the promises of God are now complete. You see, everything about every covenant that has been initiated in the Bible, it must be ratified by blood. And so when you try and live outside of the blood, if you try and live outside of that place, if you try and live inside your strength, listen, I'll give you a great secret that I learned a long time ago, and I'm still trying to live it in its fullness, and it is this: only Christ can live the Christian life. Write it down. I promise you, write it down. Write it in your Bible. Only Christ can live the Christian life. Only Jesus can. It is because I die to myself. I die to myself. And I let the love of God and the life of God, Galatians 2:20, live in me and live through me. Not by my strength, but by his strength. Because of the blood. So when I'm getting away from the blood, when I'm getting away from the love of God revealed in the cross, revealed in the blood, I come running back to the cross. I come running back to the blood. Listen to me. Jesus is not on the cross. As Protestants, we don't have Jesus on the cross. As Christians, we know he's on the throne. But be reminded right now, be reminded, he's a lamb upon the throne. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He'll come again as a lion, but he's a lamb who has scars that is marked. It's the shocking reality of coming to heaven and expecting to see this glorious, triumphant God, and instead you see a suffering lamb, a lamb that had been crucified but was now alive. We sang it this morning. This is the power of our going forward. I value that blood. I value that blood more than I value anything else. I value that sacrifice. I value that death. I value that crucifixion. I value what we talked about this morning, what Vanji said this morning, the incarnation. We value that. This is what happened. You can imagine the Jewish mindset that for thousands of years, they're waiting for this Messiah, waiting for this Messiah, waiting for this Messiah. They're expecting a Davidic king. They're expecting someone coming in riding on a horse. And instead, they get a suffering servant who is crucified naked on a tree, and there's blood everywhere. And then they're reminded, behold, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. They're radically changed. So that's the first thing. The second thing, they overcame by the word of their testimony. The word, that's the Greek word logos, the word of their testimony. It's the revelation. It's the revelation based on the blood that they can now speak about their testimony. This is the language of the witness stand. In the face of pressure to turn away from faith in Christ, they did not give in. Such perseverance not only reveals the genuineness of their faith, it completely overcomes the devil. Some churches used to have testimony night. Anybody got a testimony? It's testimony night. You're going to testify? Do you got a testimony about Jesus? Listen to me. In that environment, they heard those words and they knew this. I may be called in front of a court and I will be asked, do you love Jesus? Are you a Christian? You understand? This is a whole New Testament. This is a whole New Testament. This is the New Testament. Are you a Christian? You are? Burn them. Feed them to lions. Take their life. What will your testimony be in that instance? Ooh, Stephen, that's heavy stuff. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but well, I want to be an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer. If I want to be an overcomer, I got the blood. I want to give honor and glory to the blood. But now that transfers into my testimony. That transfers because I have that revelation. That now transfers into how I speak about Jesus. That transfers into how I live concerning the church. That transfers how I live my life before God. It translates into my testimony will be a declaration that Jesus is first. And I'm second in the simplest of terms. Jesus comes first. I want to glorify him. I want to lift him up. I want to declare who he is. And so this power of a testimony was that they understood that I can only do this by the grace of God and, listen, with one another. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. Turn to the other neighbor and say, I need you. How un-Canadian. How un-American. You know, we got our John Waynes and we got our Rambos and we got all our guys that do it all by myself. You know what? If you want to be weak, stand alone. If you want to be strong, stand together. Yeah. You can't do it alone. You weren't meant to do it alone. When man was alone in the garden, it's the only time God said something was not good. The only time God said something wasn't good in the creation. It is not good that man be alone. And he made him a helper, meaning he would always need a helper. But we'll talk about that another time. But when it comes right down to reality, we have to understand something, that God, Jesus sent them out in twos, right? He sent them out in twos. Yep. You look at the ministry of Paul, the dude was never alone unless he was in jail. Right. Every time he went somewhere, he had a gaggle of men with him.
And they were all trumping together, going about the glory of God. You got a doctor, got a lawyer, got a this one, got a that one. They were all together. They recognized we can't do this alone. When you try and do the kingdom work by yourself, you're bound to fail. I'm sorry, but it's true. We need one another. And it is the strength that we carry together, not just on the outside, not just on the appearance level, but the intimate level, the personal level, the accountability level, where we come together, we stand together, I pour out my life, I get poured into, and I recognize this is the strength and the glory of God. Listen to me. Listen to me. Elijah was a great prophet. Elijah did this great work. Man, I tell you, God rained down fire, killed 450 prophets, saw the cloud, declared the rain was coming, nation was turning back to God. Jezebel stands up and says, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And he runs away afraid. I'm looking at this and going, dude, what did you just do? Well, who are you now? Listen to it. Then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life. I said to myself, oh, he couldn't have been by himself. So what happened to the servant? He had a servant. Where's the servant that saw the cloud? And came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. Listen to it. And left his servant there. He left his servant there and went off on his own. It's a big wow. He went off alone. Because had his servant been there and he started getting depressed and he started getting afraid, his servant would have said, whoa, wait a minute. Dude, you prophesied no rain for 3 years. God provided food. God rained down fire. What are you doing? It's kind of like, psh, psh, psh. Come on, I'm serious. It's like, shake them. You're not in this alone. You've got me. You got Peggy and Jack. You got Paul and Janice. Come on. You got Grant and Kathy. You got Pastor Matt and Lisa. Wait a minute. What are you saying? Are you saying we need each other? I'm trying to tell you, we need each other. Yes. And that in the strength of one another, in the strength of our testimony, in the strength of our declaration of who God is in us and who God is in his house, we move forward and we receive the grace and the glory that God has intended for his church. I had a scripture that you had read. There it is. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession, that's the testimony of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That's this. Psh, psh, psh. That's that. I'm going to encourage you until you get encouraged, man. I'm going to encourage you until you see it, brother, sister. I'm going to stand with you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to push you forward until you get the big picture. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The enemy, anybody who watches anything that has to do with predators and prey, predators always look for the one that runs off by itself. Every single time, the weak, right? That's why the strong always gather around the weak and protect. They encircle them like the muskox. They put the young in the middle and the muskox all go get in a circle around them with their horn. Come on, come on, come on. Try it. Because that's the way the house of God is designed to be. That we gather together, we rally the strong around the weak, we support them, we stand with them. But you got to come, you got to declare, this is my house. This is my house. I will stand here forever. This is where God has placed me, and I will invest myself here to see all that God has and recognize we're in this together. For they love not their lives. Hallelujah. Loving not one's life to the death was the language of valor in battle. As was overcoming, they fought and won by faith to the point of martyrdom. If you make that decision, and I believe that every single one of us, when we come to faith in Christ, when we see him dying on the cross for us, shedding his blood for us, calling us by name, and we confess our sins before him and we declare that he is Lord and Savior of our life, there comes with it this cry that says, Lord, I'm not my own, I'm yours. Do with me as you choose. I want to be a witness. I want to be a testimony. I want to live for you. And for some of us, we'll even say, I'm willing to die for you. Implicit in that prayer, all New Testament believers knew that that was a part of what may be required of them. And most Christians around the world, in places of persecution, recognize that when they come out of Islam, and they come out of Buddhism, and they come out of Hinduism, and they come out of Shintoism, and they come out of all these different other world religions, they recognize this may cost me my life. Because of North American blessing and Christianity that has been here for hundreds of years, there are very, 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 very few martyrs here. And so because it's so far away, we don't understand. Now, I didn't put this in there. I didn't get your Bible overnight and erase, you know, or add. This has been there the whole time. It says the overcomers are the ones who love not their lives unto death. It means, should I have to pay the price, I'll pay it. Oh, it's quiet in here. But you see, that's where your power is. That's where your power is. Because once you resolve that, then when you go and you share your faith with somebody and they say, I'm not interested, you don't walk away offended. You don't walk away hurt. You don't walk away angry. You are upset. It's okay. God bless them. God move on them. Whatever he asks you to do, you're like, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'm yours. I've been bought with a price. I've been paid for with one sacrifice. I want to live an overcoming life. When the enemy comes with his temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, of the girls, the gold, and the glory, when he comes with his temptation, you look at that and you look at the blood and you say, oh, no, they don't compare. They don't compare. I value the blood more than I value. Am I going to live for myself or am I going to live for Christ? When I come to that place where I say, I will not just live for him, which we all must do, but I am also willing to die for him, I have overcoming power. Put your hands together. You can't say amen, say ouch. Come on. I know. See, overseas, this is just the norm. This is how they live. I want to tell you a story as we end about a missionary by the name of Stanley Albert Dale. Stanley Albert Dale had a very difficult childhood, very difficult life. If you knew what was going on in his home and in his family, you would think he'll never amount to anything. He'll never be what he could be. But he met Jesus. And in meeting Jesus, he made a determination that he was going to live for him all the days of his life. And that he wanted to be used by him And he wanted to help people who did not know Jesus to come to know Jesus. So he signed up to become a missionary. And in the 1950s, Irianjaya was a new mission field. And it was a place where, in the 1950s, there were still cannibals and headhunters. And he decided that he wanted to go to them and he wanted to minister Christ to them. So he learned different languages like their language, and he went to Irianjaya, and he began to become a very successful missionary. What do I mean by that? The Lord began saving many people within the Sa'i tribe. But there are other Sa'i who were now becoming angry with this man, angry with his witness, and angry with his testimony. And on a given day, he was walking with other Sa'i brothers, and then they were attacked. And how they killed people was with arrows. They weren't long arrows, they were thin arrows, and they were small arrows. And the glory of the Sa'i was to put as many arrows into the person's body so that afterward they could pull them out and take them back and offer them to their God and say, we are victorious over our enemy. Stanley Albert Dale, when he was shot with the first arrow, he said in his heart, nothing about my life is going to be used to glorify the enemy. And he pulled out the arrow and he broke it. And they shot him again and he pulled out the arrow and he broke it. And they shot him again and he pulled out the arrow and he broke it. And they shot him again and he pulled out the arrow and he broke it. They shot him 100 times. And then he died. But there were no arrows in him because he had pulled them all out and broke them. Because he said, I will not let anything in my life be used to give glory to the enemy. I want to be a witness. I want to be a testimony. I want to give glory to my God, my King, and my Savior.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.